The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the August edition of Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you an article from today.com, sciencedaily.com, and a few recipes and fun things from Food Network magazine. So starting off from today.com, people are baking cookies in their cars amid record-breaking heat wave. It's been unbearably hot out lately, with a summer heat wave currently pummeling the country and other parts of the world. It's especially scorching in the south and southwest, with temperatures reaching record highs. It's so hot, actually, that you can actually bake a batch of cookies inside a car. Yes, really. On July 22nd, U/8.5x11, a Reddit user in the Phoenix, Arizona area, shared an experience in subreddit r/baking that has heated up the entire forum. In the post, the Redditor shares their experience with baking a batch of cookies using not an oven, but their car. "I live in Phoenix and baked cookies in my car," the user wrote. To note, Phoenix is experiencing above-average heat, even for the desert city, making 28 consecutive days as of July 27th, hitting temperatures over 110 degrees. Included in the post were several images of a Hyundai's car interior showing the unconventional baking process. First, balls of cookie dough placed on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper get ready to cook in the summer sun. According to a thermometer in the image, the interior of the car started at 122.5 degrees Fahrenheit. The next image shows the cookies baking in the sweltering heat, with the interior temperature reaching 163.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Although they don't look like the typical golden brown cookies we're all used to, because browning occurs above 280 degrees, another image of the cookies sitting in a bowl shows that they have finished their bake. Reaction to the bake ranged from shock at the record temperatures in the OP's area to other concerns and obviously astonishment, with users taking to the comments to share their thoughts. "Ooh, your car probably smells great now," wrote one Reddit user, to which another added, "It's got that new cookie smell." "My husband keeps joking about baking cookies in the car, but I don't want to go outside long enough to put them in the car," laugh out loud, wrote another Reddit user. "As a fellow Phoenix resident, I love the science, but I hate that this is even possible," commented another. "This is amazing and well done, but also slightly horrifying," wrote yet another, a sentiment shared by many in the thread. Many Reddit users became concerned for the OP's safety and intestinal health, so they later shared a comment covering all the frequently asked questions they seemed to be getting, including if they were worried about salmonella. Quote, "For this experiment, I used a pre-made Pillsbury cookie dough that is designed to be eaten raw," the user wrote, further revealing that the weather outside the car reached 113 degrees at its hottest. "I deliberately did it this way because most scratch-made cookie batters use eggs or untreated flour, which when cooked, this slowly presents a salmonella risk." The user also said that the whole cooking process took about 4.5 hours, and they took safety measures to ensure that they didn't burn themselves or the car, placing the baking tray on a towel and using safety gloves to manage both the baking tray and the car. "I took my temperature after bringing the cookies inside and was running 99.4 degrees, which is much hotter than I like, but just barely below concern levels," the user wrote, adding that they would probably implement other cooling measures like a freeze pack vest and a second person watching them just in case. "Fortunately, the car was not far from my door, and I vented all the air in the car after confirming the cookies were ready. I don't think I was outside longer than 20 minutes each time. For the user who talked to today.com under the condition of anonymity, this experiment revealed to them once and for all that they live in a hot zone. I grew up in the Northeast, where 100-degree days are much less common, they told today.com in a Reddit direct message. On those rare days, I used to joke of it being hot enough to bake cookies in the car or on the sidewalk, and sometimes I would see TV stations try it and return with half-cooked dough. The user said they moved to Phoenix late last year, so this year is their very first experience with such temperatures. After the second week of 110-degree Phoenix temperatures and no end in the forecast, I began toying with the idea of trying it. So I spent a few days researching how to do it safely and come up with a plan, and then I tried it out, they said. As for how the cookies came out, the user noted that while the flavor is about the same as when you make it in an oven, it was a very different consistency. I'm used to these cookies being a bit softer in the center when done in an oven with the package instructions, they said, adding that after the almost 5-hour bake, the cookies were firm all the way through. If you've bitten into a Nutter Butter or the cookie part of an Oreo, it was closer to that experience. And they're not the only person to take baking in their car for a spin during record highs. Elsewhere in Arizona, the Maricopa County Department of Emergency Management baked cookies and a pizza inside a car during the same heat wave. Its experiment was meant to highlight just how hot it can get inside of a car, which can heat up by 20 degrees Fahrenheit in just 10 minutes. A doctor had pointed out to me a few weeks earlier that just standing outside in this heat was enough to raise my body temperature, the Reddit user noted. I'm hoping that piece of information will help illustrate that temperatures like this are not to be taken lightly, both inside and outside of a car. In Midland, Texas, the U.S. National Weather Service made mostly baked cookies after placing dough for about 4.5 hours in a car that reached a temperature of nearly 190 degrees. Even though ours weren't golden brown cooked, this heat is still incredibly dangerous to anyone left in a car, they wrote on Facebook. Look before you lock. And now, for a little bit of health news, not eating enough of these six healthy foods is associated with higher cardiovascular disease and deaths globally. A study led by McMaster University and Hamilton Health Sciences researchers at the Population Research Health Institute, PHRI, has found that not eating enough of six key foods in combination is associated with a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, CVD, in adults. Consuming fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, fish, and whole fat dairy products is key to lowering the risk of CVD, including heart attacks and strokes. The study also found that a healthy diet can be achieved in various ways, such as including moderate amounts of whole grains or unprocessed meats. Previous and similar research has focused on Western countries and diets that combined harmful, ultra-processed foods with nutrient-dense foods. This research was global in scope and focused on foods commonly considered to be healthy. The World Health Organization estimates nearly 18 million people died from CVD in 2019, representing 32% of all global deaths. Of these deaths, 85% were due to heart attacks and strokes. PHRI researchers and their global collaborators analyzed data from 245,000 people in 80 countries from multiple studies. The results were published in the European Heart Journal on July 6. Researchers derived a diet score from PHRI's ongoing large-scale global prospective urban and rural epidemiological PURE study. then replicated that in 5 independent studies to measure health outcomes in different world regions and in people with and without prior CVD. Previous diet scores, including the EAT Lancet Planetary Diet and the Mediterranean Diet, tested the relationship of diet to CVD and death, mainly in Western countries. The Pure Healthy Diet score included a good representation of high, middle, and low-income countries, said Salim Youssef, senior author and principal investigator of Pure. As well as being truly global, the Pure Healthy Diet score focused on exclusively protective or natural foods. We were unique in that focus. The other diet scores combined foods considered to be harmful, such as processed and ultra-processed foods, with foods and nutrients believed to be protective of one's health, said first author Andrew Mente, PHRI scientist and assistant professor at McMaster's Department of Health Research Methods, Evidence and Impact. There is a recent increased focus on higher consumption of protective foods for disease prevention. Outside of larger amounts of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and legumes, the researchers showed that moderation is key in the consumption of natural foods, he said. Moderate amounts of fish and whole fat dairy are associated with a lower risk of CVD and mortality. The same health outcomes can be achieved with moderate consumption of grains and meats, as long as they're unrefined whole grains and unprocessed meats. The Pure Healthy Diet score recommends an average daily intake of fruits at 2 to 3 servings, vegetables at 2 to 3 servings, nuts at 1 serving, and dairy at 2 servings. The score also includes 3 to 4 weekly servings of legumes and 2 to 3 weekly servings of fish. Possible substitutes included whole grains at 1 serving daily and unprocessed red meat or poultry at 1 serving daily. There was no specific funding for this analysis, although each study that contributed data was funded separately and conducted over a 25-year period. So make sure you eat enough of those healthy, unprocessed foods to protect your heart. A few items from Food Network magazine called To Your Health. Coffee break. Need some motivation to exercise? Make iced coffee. Research shows that caffeine can help improve physical activity significantly. Just don't go overboard. The more coffee you drink, the less you tend to sleep. And wonderful watermelon. A recent study suggests that people who eat watermelon have an overall better diet than people who don't. Watermelon eaters get a good dose of vitamin A, fiber, magnesium, and potassium from the fruit. Plus, they generally eat less added sugar and saturated fats. And I know we've all seen lots of watermelon in the grocery store lately. Cauliflower power. This beloved veggie is more than just a great starch replacement. One small study suggests that consuming cauliflower may help slow the growth of cells that can cause breast cancer. To get your fix, pick up a bag of cauliflower rice and find fun ways to use it. We love yogurt. Yogurt gets lots of love for its gut-friendly probiotics, but new research shows that the full-fat kind can also help people with prediabetes keep glucose levels in check. Bonus, yogurt is super cooling for these hot end-of-summer days. Use it to make your own tzatziki. And finally, eat your breakfast. Making your morning meal the biggest one of the day could help you live longer. And the source for that is Obesity Reviews. Next up, are you a proper shopper? We asked experts to weigh in on grocery store etiquette. Is it okay to ditch your shopping cart in the parking lot? That's the question. Unless you're in torrential downpour or alone with a child having a meltdown, you should return the cart to the corral, says Marilee McKee, founder of the Etiquette School of America in Orlando. Supermarket employees do collect them, but they only make the rounds every so often, and in the meantime, an abandoned cart could roll away and ding a car. If you have to leave it, position the cart so it isn't blocking a parking spot and make sure it can't roll. Better yet, give it to a shopper heading inside. Next up, is it okay to go over the limit of items on the express line? When the sign says 15 items or less, stores consider that a soft 15, says Joseph Welsh, a national grocery store consultant based in Las Vegas. If you have only a few extras, you're good. In other exciting news, most stores count multiples of one item as just one thing to scan, so those 5 containers of yogurt won't eat into your total. Rest assured, the cashier will only judge you if you show up with a full cart. Is it okay to abandon an item far from where you found it? I know I've been guilty of that. As long as the food isn't perishable, grocery stores typically have no problem with this. It's part of the shopping process, Welsh says. Putting back merchandise is one way we train new employees to become more familiar with the store. Definitely hand over anything from the dairy or frozen aisle to a sales associate to prevent it from spoiling, or at least set it on an end cap where it can be easily spotted by a staff member. Is it okay to sample a grape or two? Another thing I'm guilty of. In the business, we call that grazing. And it's not the world's worst party foul, says Welsh. Supermarkets understand that people might be tempted to snack when they're surrounded by piles of colorful produce. That said, you should never open a sealed package or grab something like a strawberry from a clamshell or carton. You're taking it from the customer who buys that container, and you don't want to be that person. Is it okay to run and grab something you forgot? If you aren't going to hold up the line, go for it. You might need to be a decent sprinter if the item is on the other side of the store. Etiquette expert Rosalinda Oropeza Randall, author of Don't Burp in the Boardroom, suggests loading everything onto the conveyor belt first so the cashier can start scanning your items, if you aren't back in time. Make sure to tell the person behind you that you'll be right back. And finally, is it okay to dig for the milk with the latest expiration date? Milk flies off shelves pretty quickly, so no harm done. The truth is, some families need maximum amount of time to finish a gallon of milk, while others will do just fine with a shorter window. So that is totally okay. I have a recipe for you, a snack idea. Maybe it'll help you get some of those legumes. White bean pesto dip. So you will need 1 15-ounce can of cannellini beans, drained. Do not rinse them. 1/3 cup of pesto, plus more for topping. Kosher salt and crudite for serving. Combine the cannellini beans and pesto in a food processor. Puree until smooth, thinning with water as needed. Season with salt. Transfer the dip to a bowl and top with more pesto. Swirl it in with a spoon and serve with crudite. I've got another recipe for you. Jeff Morrow's chicken caprese with pomegranate glaze. And he says, I serve this dish in late summer when tomatoes are bountiful and perfectly ripe. It tastes like blue skies and sunshine. You will need 2 cups of pomegranate juice, 2 skin-on boneless chicken breasts, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, plus more for drizzling, 2 heirloom tomatoes, which should be in the stores these days, sliced 1/4 inch thick, 8 ounces of fresh buffalo mozzarella cheese, sliced 1/4 inch thick, 10 to 12 fresh basil leaves, 1/4 cup of crushed pistachios, and some smoked sea salt. Bring the pomegranate juice to a simmer in a small pot over low heat. Then cook until very syrupy, thick, and reduced to about a quarter to half a cup. This takes 30 to 40 minutes. Set it aside to cool. Meanwhile, preheat the oven to 300 degrees. Sprinkle the chicken liberally with kosher salt and pepper on both sides. Heat the olive oil in a medium oven-proof skillet over medium-high heat. Place the chicken in the skillet, skin side down. Cook until the skin is golden brown, 2 to 3 minutes. Flip and cook for another 2 minutes. Transfer the skillet to the oven and roast until the internal temperature reaches 165 degrees, 10 to 12 minutes. Transfer to a cutting board and let rest for 5 minutes. Slice the chicken a quarter inch thick. Layer the tomatoes, chicken, and mozzarella on a platter, tucking the basil leaves in between. Drizzle with the pomegranate reduction and sprinkle with the crushed pistachios. Sprinkle with smoked sea salt and then enjoy. Here's another to your health from Food Network Magazine. Fish for life. The secret to staying youthful may be hiding at the fish counter. A recent study shows that omega-3 fatty acids found in fatty fish like salmon and mackerel may reduce the biological signs of aging. Tea time. Black and green teas contain high levels of flavin-3-ols, plant compounds that can help keep blood pressure, cholesterol, and sugar levels in check. New guidelines recommend consuming 400 to 600 milligrams of flavin-3-ols a day, and you can get half that from a glass of iced tea. And I've got a quick recipe for cold brew iced tea for you. Combine 8 cups of cold water and 10 tea bags in a pitcher. Cover and refrigerate 15 to 36 hours. Remove the tea bags and sweeten to taste. Serve it with ice. Go big on berries. A new review of studies shows that anthocyanins, a kind of flavonoid, may help ward off neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So strawberries, blueberries, and raspberries can go into that grocery basket. We love tomatoes. It's beginning to look a lot like tomato season. The crops started popping up in parts of the country in June. According to a recent report, eating tomatoes may be good for your gut. And take lunch outside. Exposure to sunlight early in the day can help you sleep better at night. And now a small article from KDVR.com. Food delivered by someone not on app? You shouldn't accept it. Hotel Tech Report finds that 47% of Americans ordered food through a delivery service in 2021. Companies are cracking down on security measures, but it's important for customers to know the rules to stay safe. Security features are built into most apps, so you know exactly who to expect and don't open the door for the wrong person. Troy, a food service delivery driver, told Fox 31 he has had food delivered by passengers riding along with employees. He said it is confusing and unsettling because the picture provided on the app doesn't match the person he sees knocking at the door. It is unacceptable for someone to hop out of a car and come to my door and expect me to open it in the middle of the night, he said. Former hacker shows how to identify, Uber Eats, Postmates, and DoorDash are services that are safely used by millions, and rules are in place to keep it that way, like background checks, so you know who you're interacting with. Services like DoorDash enforce strict rules requiring deliveries to only be made by vetted employees. Others are not allowed to ride in cars or make deliveries. Violations are swiftly addressed. Consumer experts tell the problem solvers customers should stick with apps that are familiar and never open the door for anyone not scheduled to make your food delivery. More food news. Your dining room could get a Michelin star. A new company will ship a meal prepared by one of the country's top chefs right to your home. Movable Feast features a different restaurant every month and sends the makings of a multi-course dinner with everything you need to finish and plate each dish. There's a meal from Fresca Food and Wine in Boulder. September's box comes with Michelin-starred tail-up goat in Washington, D.C. Just be prepared for a restaurant-sized bill. A meal for four is $385. And that website is Movable Feast, MoveleFeast.io. This copper cookware has character. The Walt Disney Company turns 100 this year, and to mark the occasion, Ruffoni Historia has released a collection of copper cookware featuring beloved Disney characters. You can choose Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, or Pluto to stand guard. And that's from $210, and you can get that at williamssonoma.com. Ever had your name misspelled on a cup of coffee? Join the crowd. In a recent survey, 62% said it had happened to them. Pasta is getting the instant ramen treatment. The directions are pretty simple on these packages of Italian-made instant pasta. Just add hot water. The new line from Startup Pasta Noodles includes marinara, spicy marinara, and mac and cheese. Pesto will debut early next year. It's $40 for 12 containers, and you can find them at pastanoodles.com. PastaNoodles.com. And finally, yes, honey, a daily dose of honey could help keep your blood sugar and cholesterol levels in check, according to a recent review of studies. Just be sure to go with raw honey. The processed stuff loses many of its health benefits during pasteurization. We've run out of time today for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks so much for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Have a great August.